So we're going to begin tonight where we left off last time. In the Hebrew version, Besoda Yachid Vayachad, we're on page 110. And in the English version, you're on page 64. Okay then? And you should be on the bottom of page 64. Some of this we may have touched on last time, but I think tonight, even though a lot of the concepts we'll be studying this evening are review topics, but they further fine-tune what the Rav has been saying about the contrast between the ish halacha and the homo religioso, the man of religion. But I think there's a lot of important poetry here, that a lot of emotional feelings, if we are able to accomplish it. Again, we'll be stuck with the Meiriv business, but if we can somehow expand that a little bit after Meiriv, we'll get... I think there's a lot to take out of this for our own lives. That's what I really feel. The Rav says the following. In contrasting the ish halacha with the ish hadat, he says, "B'sha'asha ish hadat mekabel et ha-norma." The word norma refers to the law. Baal karcho. In other words, from a homo religioso perspective, and he's talking about Christianity, the law comes from the outside, externally, and compels the person, forces him. Ki'ilu kafa'o shade. This is based on Gemara in Durham. We mentioned it last time. It's as if he was forced by a shade, a demon, from the outside. Ah, but in contrast, listen to this. This is poetry. He says, Isha alacha, eino margish klal b'todaat hakfiya. He doesn't feel any sense of compulsion. His awareness is from within. Ha-hechrech ha-malavim et ha-norma. He doesn't feel that there's something forcing him that pushes the law upon him. You know, you'll meet people who say that Shabbos is too difficult for me. You know, there's 39 malachas, and then there are shyagim and shmusim and drabonans and muktzah and who knows what. I can't take it. You know, they're not ishe halacha. The ish halacha is someone who is he feels the connection and the law is natural to him. It's not forced upon him from the outside. El nidmelo, but rather how does the ish halacha view the law? Ki ilu matzat ha-norma b'nishmato v'nafsho. He feels a natural affinity to the law, to the halacha. Ki ilu hi lo rak mitzvah shut la'alav. It's not just an obligation that was compelled upon him. El chok existentiali shel havayato. It represents his existential being. Something from within. You know, I'm tempted to think that the Rav might have in mind, in some sense, the Gemara Nida of the Uber B'mei Imo. You know, already, even before the child is born, he feels he's exposed, he's educated in the Torah. Of course, he forgets all the Torah, so he has to relearn it. But nevertheless, even though he has to undergo a process of education, it's already part of his neshama. You know, if I would give a mashal, you know that in not grafting, what word am I, in Hebrew it's called hashtalah, how do you say it in English? Transplants. Organ transplants. What's the biggest fear in organ transplants? The biggest challenge? Anybody know?
Rejection.
Rejection, exactly, because you're introducing a foreign body into the organism. In the case of Torah, one could argue that Torah coming from the outside, all its laws and its details, intricacies, might be seen as something alien to the person, and therefore there's a fear of rejection. But the answer is no. Torah is not foreign, it's something from within. It's already been exposed to the ubar before it's born into this world. And therefore there's an existential bond between the nefesh and the Torah itself. You know, in the field of religious Zionism, you'll find that the same idea, in a parallel way, applies to Eretz Yisrael. Our love for Eretz Yisrael is not something that comes from the outside. It's not something that's sociological or historical. Somehow the Nefesh Yehudi, it has an existential bond with the land of Israel. So you could put a person in a blindfold and he doesn't know where in the universe you're dropping him. If you put him in Eretz Yisrael, he'll say, "Oh, I'm in Eretz Yisrael." He doesn't see it. He feels it. This is the, I don't know if you're familiar with the Torah of Rabbi Yehuda Levi, the Rishon who wrote the Kuzari, you know, that there's some sort of existential bond that we have the land of Israel because it's suffused with divinity. It's the Mishkan of this universe.
Yeah, the connection that the land has with his Mishkan, is that something that comes inside the cognitive man within him, or coming inside the transcendental, the homologiosis, or is it only once he has a synthesis that he has that connection?
I don't know. That's an excellent question. I think we're going to hold off on your question until we know more about it. Maybe by the end of today we can answer your question. I just think that he's pointing out that for the Christian, you know, law is so restrictive, and the lust and the desire to violate the law is so intense that the man of religion is in constant tension, in constant battle. Unfortunately, I think a little of this has penetrated into Jewish religious life. You know, the sense of that I'm constantly fighting this ongoing battle. The Rav is claiming, and again, you have to either agree with him or disagree with him, that the Ish Halakha, in the ideal form, again, we said at the very beginning that the Ish Halakha is an ideal, he doesn't fight. He'll take a look at the next sentence. He's not in a constant battle, put him your dukes, against the Yetzer, who represents the carnal, physical part of man. No. Those are aberrations. They might exist, for example, in a case of Nevuah, maybe, you know, some level of Nevuah. But for halachic man, there's a natural sense of the love of the law. You know, he doesn't see the satanic figure that's constantly creeping out from the, you know, from the shadows to pounce upon him. There's a certain natural sense of calm, of existing with the law. The law is something that expresses my feelings. You know, when I experience Shabbat, it's not a burden to me. When I experience a Yom Tov, it's not restrictive. It's natural. It's joyful. It's delicious. We love it. Not just the Cholim. We love it because we feel Yom Tov. We look forward to Yom Tov. Pesach is around the corner. Wait, we can't wait for it. You know, I don't know, gentlemen, when was the last time you had matzah? I mean to say matzah ru'il mitzvah. Not since Shabbos, probably, and maybe not even 2 weeks before that, if you have that minute. We're dying to get to that matzah. I can't wait to get to that matzah, right? There's a natural sense of longing for the mitzvah. It's kind of like the famous story of... did I mention to you the story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter with the Esrig? He was waiting up the whole night on the first night of Sukkot, waiting till dawn. He kept going outside. He couldn't sleep, looking to see if he could find the rays of daybreak, you know, and then he could take the Esrog. And as soon as he saw the light of day, he lunged for the Esrog. There was only one problem. He forgot that the Esrog was in a glass container. Ish halacha, here, if you have the English version, so you just get the English version on page 65. Do you have that? Mm-hmm. He says, halachic man is firmly embedded in this world. He doesn't suffer from dualism, which is called shniut, shalruchaniut, v'gashmiut. It's not that he's existing in this constant battle. And the Rav repeats himself. He says, this is not a person, Ish Halakha, who strains against the chains of ethical and norm, but he, and accepting them against his will. Rather, we have a blending, this is an integration of self-consciousness with the norm. In the Hebrew, it's even more beautiful. He says, Ein kan adam ha-bo'et בקבלי מוסריות ושלטון הנורמה שמקבלים בעל כרחוב, יש כאן התמזגות, you know the word מיזוג, an integration של חובה עם תודעה עצמית, an absolute unity between one's self-consciousness, his self, and the norm, and the law. He says, Ein gdolei Yisrael yodim klum. It's a very extreme statement. Al dvar hitnagshut adam v'yitzara. And here he contrasts them. This is the first time he mentions Christianity, as far as I remember, explicitly. He's always hinting at it, but here he says it right up front. Who are the Christian saints? Who are the men of the church? These are people who are running away from this world because this world is too full of conflict. Therefore, the Christian saints' lives are consist of a long series of battles with Shalshalat Arukah Shel Milchama B'Barak HaChayim. Barak means, you know, all those neon lights that attract them. B'Chemdat B'Sarim, you know, the love of pleasure, of physical pleasure. B'Yetzer HaRayot, you know, the Rav is not embarrassed to single out the sexual area. And that's why so many of the saints were celibate, because they couldn't handle it. Hopefully they were celibate. U'B'Tanuge Olam Hazeh, and all the pleasures of this world. Avot HaKnisiya, I don't know how you translate that into English.
Church fathers.
Hitmachru, they were totally dedicated. L'chayim datiyim mitoch kfiyav ones. Interesting, the Rav uses two words here. Kfiya is meaning when you force someone. Ones is duress, like ones rachmana patri. Circumstances that you did something under duress. So for us, if you violate the halacha, it was because of duress. For them, if you live up to the law of the church and the demands of religion, that you're doing under duress. That's why you remember the Rambam. I'm so surprised the Rav doesn't quote this from the famous Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin on the halacha of Kofino Sachi Yom Rotsa. Do you remember that? And basically, the man's ratzon is to give the get because the halacha requires him to give the get. That part of the human, of the Jewish soul, is never tainted by sin. It always remains pure. Hanesham Shasat Vitori. Chachmei Yisrael, when they live up to the law, they observe the law, Mitoch Chedva V'Cherut. David HaMelech declares, in Tilim Yutes, Yom L'Yom Yabia Omer, V'Layla L'Yad Chavrat, and he says, in Tamni Api, that's what the Gemara calls the you know, chapter 119, you know, 119 is Kuf Yutes in the high schools in Israel, even the public schools, when the teacher wants to threaten you because you're not behaving, all they have to say is Kuf Yud Tes. Those three letters, that's all. It means you're going to have to write up chapter 119 in Psalms. You know, there's no copy. You can't produce it from a computer. So what does David HaMelech declare of this? He says, Vashtashea b'mitzvosecha asher ahavti. Look how David HaMelech, in such a charming and intimate way, so touching, he describes his relationship to mitzvot, or ma hafti toratecha kol hayom misichati. Shashuim is using the word that you describe when a child plays with a toy. It's so, how does he translate it? It's delightful.
I will delight myself
in your mitzvot. Zot nechamati beyond ye. All my suffering can be comforted. I get my life from your command, God, from your word. The word of God is not something negative, it's something positive, it's something that comforts man.
How is the Christian version different than Yishasod and Skorli out of
who? The Ish?
Yishasod.
The Yishasod, yeah, has a tendency to want to break out into the world of Ein Sof. You remember we said because the divinity that contracts itself into this world is in a state of galut, of shechinta begaluta. You know, we see it from a halachic perspective, just the opposite. What the shechina wants more than anything is to be brought down into this world. Ein kan pkuda matila adam chovot shu ba'et bahem. Interesting. The Rav used the word cheshek. How would you interpret the word cheshek? Cheshek is an intense desire for something. And he's using it for mitzvahs. That's why the Gemara says in Makkos about Moshe Rabbeinu, Oev kesef lo yispa kesef. Oev mitzvahs lo yispa mitzvahs. I'm never satiated by mitzvot. No matter how many I implement and how many I achieve, I want more and more and more. Endless and so forth. You'll find that, by the way, in the teaching field. In Torah specifically. You want to teach and teach and teach. And it's never enough. If only they give you the opportunities. He says, "K'she'ish halacha ba'el holam ha'ri'ali." When he comes to this real world, "K'var yatzar d'mut ikuyon idealit." Yeah, let's take a look. The English is a little bit helpful here. When halachic man, the last three lines of page 65, comes to the real world, he already has created his ideal a priori image, which shines with the radiance of the norm. Now, we may have seen this idea, but watch what happens here. The Rav is going to throw in a whole new curveball on this idea of the halachic ideal world. The real world does not impose upon him anything new, nor does it compel him to perform any new action of which he had not been aware beforehand in his ideal world. So the ideal world of halacha is a perfect match and corresponds perfectly, ideally, to the real world of you must fulfill the halacha. So again, whenever we're forcing a person to observe the halacha, then we know it's an aberration. It's not normal. That's not the way it was meant to be. This ideal world, look at this, is his very own, his own possession. He is free to create in it, to arrive at new insights, to improve and perfect. Now here is a very important footnote, number 80. I have it here in the Hebrew version, under number 77. He quotes a whole slew, his knowledge of Christian theology is amazing, who claim that, he quotes Max Scheler and others, that we should create the norm. Just 1 second, number 80. He says, this concept of freedom, right, the Rav is talking about freedom for the Ishalacha, should not be confused with the principle of ethical autonomy expounded by Kant and his followers. And at the end of this paragraph, he says, the freedom of realizing the norm brings holiness to the world, whereas the freedom of creating the world of the norm has brought chaos and disorder into the world. Now, there's philosophers like Nietzsche and so forth, they propose that man create his own norm. And the Rav says when you leave the creation of the norm to man, you end up with chaos, with destruction. So the freedom here that the Rav is referring to, as clarified by this footnote, is not the freedom to create the norm, but to implement the norm. And that's what the Torah was given to the Chachmei Yisrael Lo B'Shamayim Hi, to implement the norm. In other words, if there's a baskol from Shamayim that wants to straitjacket the Chachamim and say, well, this is the way you have to implement the norm, then ein mashgichin, we don't pay attention to a baskol. This is the tremendous intellectual freedom that's given to the Chachmei Yisrael, to the Poskim, to teach us and create new structures how to apply the norm. And therefore, Ezu ben Chorin, says the Rav, based on the Mishnah novels, Zesha Osek b'Torah. Torah grants man a tremendous amount of freedom. Now, I want to read you a part in the Hebrew here. He says the following. He says, Nigud yisodi zeh b'tfisatam antologit shel ish hada'at v'ish halacha mishtakef b'nafsham shel ishim halalu. Okay, there's a printing error here that I just noticed. It should say ish hada'at. Wow. This is amazing. It's the first time I found this in the whole essay. Sorry, I just have to correct this. This is bad news. The Rav is clearly contrasting the man of religion with the man of halacha. Mishtakev b'nafsham shel ishim halal. Okay. Now he's getting down to the contrast between these two personalities. So again, first he talks on the top of page 113, which I think you'll see in the second paragraph of chapter 11 on page 66. With, again, religious subjectivism, which is clearly the tendency of the man of religion. He says, Mishuneu ish... Okay, just 1 second. This is, again, very fascinating. What do you have in the English here? In the Hebrew, he says, Mishunehi mi ish hamada. 1 second. Just 1 second. Oh, that's in the next paragraph, I guess. Right, that's in the next paragraph. My mistake. So in the previous paragraph, he says Hanetialis objektiviut l'tishtushei tzura v'gvulin le'iruv tchumin hatachton b'elyon hagashmi beruchani hagilui v'satum shel ish hadat. He's talking about religious subjectivity in the manner of religion, which leads to some sort of blurring of tishtush, means blurring. A very interesting word that he chooses. Tishtush hatchumim. He says the confusion of domains, corporeal and spiritual, revealed and concealed. I just want to make check one thing out. Did I skip anything? No. Okay, I'll tell you what confuses me, and I've made this point in the past. In the English version, for some reason which boggles my mind, he left out the chapter titles. So that's why I began to get confused over here. The chapter title here, which is omitted in the English translation, but it appears here in the Hebrew version that was written by the Rav himself, is Halacha HaKatuv HaShlishi HaMachriya. Okay? And I think you'll see this in the English on page 68. And here's where the Rav presents what he calls, what he himself calls, Shnei Ketuvim HaMachishim Zetzeh. Okay, so you'll see this on page 68. I want to read it to you in the Hebrew because I think it's more dramatic in the Hebrew. He says, Hastira Gdola B'Nefesh Ish Hadat. There is a very deep-seated contradiction in the personality of the man of religion. He says, Michad Gisa, on the one hand, Hareu Margish B'Shifluto V'Katnuto. He feels himself low and small, V'Chalishuto and weak. V'Afisat Kocho, that's a beautiful phrase, means frail. And now the Rav invokes a medrash at the beginning of Bereishis that discusses the fact that man was created at the end of creation on the sixth day. And it says, Afil yitush kadmo, shulshul kadmo. These are small creatures like mosquitoes or bedbugs that were created before man. Those man, in a sense, sequentially, is the lowest. So you can be very down on yourself. Huroet atzmok yitzur chalush, a weak creation, Rafa Onim, who's lost. There's no help, he's desperate. Mibchinat Yitzure HaTeva, if you compare man to other creatures of nature, Hareu Yitzur HaBiologi, he is a biological creature, and therefore he should be created to other biological creatures, but there's only one difference. Sheik Diach HaTafshilo, interesting phrase the Rav uses. It means he spoils his cooked, he overcooks, meaning he spoiled the cooking. That's a phrase the Gemara uses in Gittin to decide what are grounds for divorce if a woman doesn't do her job properly. V'yatzal l'tarbut ra'ah, he accuses himself, he points a few finger of accusation to himself because he failed in his religious obligations. He was yotzei l'tarbus ra'ah. That's on the one hand. Umitzad sheni, on the other side of the balance, humakir, he doesn't deny God lutov romuto, how great and how sublime he is. Kirucho bokat v'olad larakia, his spirit penetrates to the higher heavens. No kevet v'yoredet ad tahom. Halu atarat abriya. From a spiritual perspective, he is the crown of all creation. So is he the lowest of creation or the highest of creation? HaKadosh Baruch Hu shlitu b'maasei yadav, right? It says v'kivshua, that you, God, you man, are the sovereign ruler over all of nature. Right? Uridu b'dgas hayom. And that's the bracha that God bestows upon man. Toda'at ha'yitzur sheba'adam, as soon as man becomes conscious of the fact that he's a creation like any other creation, b'chilat shnei ha'nigudim alalu, he suffers from this negation, this thesis and antithesis within him, this antinomy. And basically, it comes from two different psukim. He says the following. Shorsho betudat hadat mekar rubam shel astirot vanigudim betfisuto shel adam unechaz tamid b'mamakei todato v'nishmato b'svach. Svach is that word that the Torah uses to describe the isle that Avram found after the Nisan in the Akedah, right? Nechaz b'karnav. He says he's involved in a svach of shnei ketuvim machishim zedzeh. Two mutually exclusive verses in the Torah. Katuv echad omer, actually they're both in ketuvim in Tehillim. Ki ar'esh shamecha, when I look up at your heavens, ma'aseh tzvotecha, yareach v'kochavim shekonanta, I look at the cosmos and I realize how vast and how infinite they are. Ma'enosh ki tizkareta, I immediately ask the question, who's man? Why do you remember man? Why should you? Ben adam ki tifkedenu, man is a speck of dust in the cosmos. The cosmos is so much more grandiose and grandeur, perfect in its natural dedication to law and order. Man is erratic. Here today and gone tomorrow. But on the other hand, in the same capital in Tehillim, David says, "Vatchasreu ma'at melukim, kavod v'hadar tatreu, tamshileu b'maseh yadecha, kol shata tachat reglecha." Who is man? On the one hand, man is nothing, he's a speck. On the other hand, he's just a little bit below God. He is a divine being. To him there's glory and majesty. He controls the entire universe. Says the Rav, Adayin lo ba b'shvil ish hadat ha-katuv ha-shlishi she-achri b'nihim. When we have a contradiction in two psukim, we need a third pasuk to somehow determine and get us out of this contradiction. But for the man of religion, there is no way out. He's constantly living in this contradiction. And as a result, he's very down on himself. Baram, however, says the Rav, Ish halacha matzata katuva shlishi. He has succeeded in finding the third pasuk. And what is it? Ha-halacha. We should have guessed it. Halachic man. Gam hu sovel mishniyut zu. True, insofar as man is a human creature created by God, he too suffers from this dualism, this two extreme poles. Umikera nafshi zeh, from this split in his very personality. Who is man? Aval hu ma'achedet hakra'im. He can integrate all the fragments of his personality. Al yidei musag halachav hadin. So basically, halacha comes to redeem man, to integrate the parts of his split personality into one whole organism. And here the Rav reflects on the Ne'ila service. Gam ish halacha omeid biyom ha-kippurim im dimudei chama, means as the sun is setting, time of Ne'ila, kishiyom ha-gadol v'kadosh shokea biyam. The great, glorious, majestic day, the holiest day of the year, is going down below Avot Shel Hod V'Netzach. Umitvadel lifnei kono al chata'av. He's still in that mode of vidui. Vidui is man accusing himself. This is very much a reflection and expression of the ish hadat within the halachic man. Whom atchil v'yomer, declares, me'anu mechayenu mechazdenu metzikotenu ma'yeshuotenu ma'kochenu ma'gvuratenu ma'no ma'alefanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avotenu. This is a very depressing series of rhetorical questions. Who is man? What are we worth? What is our life? What is our strength? What is our salvation? Hello? Kol ha'giborim ka'ayin lefanecha. Man, even this great, strong, heroic man is nothing in front of you. Anshei Hashem kalo hayu, we claim some sort of reputation. We're nothing. Chachamim, even the scholars amongst us, kivli mada, are like imbeciles. Nevonim kivli haskil. Rov maseim, our actions are tov avot. Chayim hevel lefanecha. He quotes Koheles. Motar hadam in abeima ayin kakol havel. What is man? If you compare man to the Havaya Gdolah, to Maaseh Merkava, to the great cosmos, to the glorious heavenly creatures and creations, Ma'ler Kobashva'a La Prasis HaKosmi, Ma'ler Gabe'a Tevelum Lo'a, Ma'ler Miyachas Lo'lamot Gluyim Ustumim, what is man compared to the revealed worlds and then the concealed worlds? And therefore, Katuv HaRishon, this first Pasuk, Ma enosh ki tizkerenu ba'u min haker b'libo. It just pounds. It's like a knife that gnaws away at his heart, uvimocho, in his mind. Why do you think of man? And as a result, that the Rav's poetic Hebrew, upachad kamus, a very deep fear, tokefoto, just overtakes him. Ema gedola kofetzet alav. A powerful, profound fear jumps out at him. Umevatelet et yeshuto, and it threatens to undermine his very personality, his very essence. Et anochiyut. And therefore, a wave nechshol shel yeush ubitol atzmi. It's almost he's self-contempt almost. Over alav threatens to sweep him away. But that's the Ketuv HaShlishi. Baram, Babisha'a, at the very same moment, Minatzetzet b'molcho, something flashes in his mind, Machshava achat. Im motar adam min abeima ayin kalkol havel, it's a lumda shakasha. If it's true, we sit with the sing-song, the Talmudic sing-song, that man is just vain, he's nothing, he's meaningless, Yom HaKippurim mativo. What's the nature and the purpose of Yom HaKippurim? What does it mean? Yichud Kohen Gadol Kono Bebeit Kodshei Kadoshim. Kohen Gadol goes lifnai v'lifnim to be alone with the Shechina. What's the matar? What's the purpose of it? Kedushat Hayom. Shei mechaperet ma'in yanao ma'uta. What's its essence? Musag chet v'avon mitzad echad. Okay, man is guilty. That's true. But yet, there's a reckoning. And there's a possibility of repentance. Chovat ha-tshuva mitzad acher. What's it all about? If everything is meaningless, if man is here today and gone tomorrow, he's just a speck of dust. If he's worthless, if he's vain, so why did the Torah give us Yom HaKippurim? Why did it give us tshuva? Why is there reckoning? Why is there schar v'onesh? Why is there mishpat? Halo ha-alacha hitziva et adam b'tiburo shel olama. The Allah has taken man and placed him in the center, the epicenter of the universe. No one else, you know, in the great cosmos is brought to, is subjected to judgment, is taken to task for his sins and asked to do tshuva. Yom HaKippurim atzmo be'id al zeh. That very essence of Yom HaKippurim is a testimony to the greatness of man. So therefore, once man is overwhelmed by these feelings of downgrading himself, of his inferiority, he has to immediately be swept away by the feeling of Yom Kippur, of the sanctity of the day of the greatness of man. This is a very powerful section, and we'll see if we can complete it in a minute or two. We'll take a break from it. The concept of this Ketuv HaShlishi is to integrate both feelings in man, from one extreme to the other, have to be integrated. Rav here on page 116 in Besod uses the term Toch Kedei Dibur, which, as you know, is a term taken from the laws of Eidus, that if one Eid testifies, he can change his mind Toch Kedei Dibur within that short period of time. Toch Kedei Dibur captures that immediacy. He says that even if man feels the first katuv, meaning the lowliness of man, but tokdei dibur, he feels this tremendous urge to come closer to Hashem. And as a result, it's vat chasreu ma'at melokim. Of course, yearning for the divine presence, which is so existential, so fundamental to the soul of the ish halakha, is indicative of the greatness of man. If man was just a speck of dust, if he was just hevel havolin, why would it be so that he has this tremendous yearning for Almighty God? On the Yom HaKadosh, on Yom HaKippurim, this is a result of his deep feeling about the closeness between the Shekhinah and man on this day. In the Rav's language, he says, man says, I am the one creature in this world who reflects the image of the divine presence. I study the Torah as a cherished plaything. The angels themselves long to learn Torah from me. That's what Chazal say. This is a moment like Shir HaShirim, this moment of Ne'ila. It's a moment of Kapara. But more than that, it's a moment in which man comes close to Almighty God in a love relationship. He says, Hare ani mitrapek achshav al dodi v'ohavi. I am jumping, I am reaching. Dodi v'ohavi. There's a relationship here between the dod and the ohev. This is Shir HaShirim. Ish halacha, says the Rav, motzei tekef et geulato. V'ishur haviyato b'tudazu. He finds his redemption. And this is an endorsement of his very existence, his very essence, his very soul as a unique being. And therefore, in the Ne'ilah service, he recites, Atahiv dalta enosh mirosh v'takireu lamod lefanecha. From the very creation, you recognized man and you deemed him worthy of standing in your presence. Wow, this is an amazing transition. Just immediate. Bin rega, says the Rav. It's a very popular phrase in Israel today. Gadlak homato ad shamayim. Man reaches in his status, in his stature, all the way to the heavens. He becomes a heavenly being. Bima'of ayin, which is like harif ayin, in a single second, fleeting second. Nefach hashafel shebi yitzurim lebechir abruim. The lowest of creatures is transformed to be the highest of creatures, the choice and the noblest of all creatures. Shekodesh Baruch Hu yivdileu mirosh v'yikiro lamod lefanav. Amida lefnei Hashem. This is the greatness of man. Man can stand in front of God. No other creature can. Kama haracha atzmit. Yeshkan. Man is now believing in himself, giving himself a valuable status, recognizing himself as someone who can stand, a being that can stand in front of Almighty God. Let's read the English. He says, in the blinking of an eye, the lowliest of creatures turns into the noblest of creatures, whom the Holy One, blessed be He, elected at the very inception and recognizes worthy of standing before Him, standing before God. What self-esteem is present here. What majesty and strength engirdles halachic man when he utters this phrase. He says, Kama geut v'oz lovesh ish halacha b'shash u'mivatei et hadvarim alalu. Kama otzma u'gvura. How much power and might. Sfunim u'gnuzim b'shalosh milimeda. Ha'adam omeid lifnei Hashem. Man stands in front of God. Atik yomim mechayevet havayato v'kiyumo shel adam. Man exists as a result of the creative process of the Atik Yomin, which is a term, a phrase that comes from the Bali Kabbalah, the ancient one. And man is, and his existence is approved, so to speak, by the Atik Yomin, by Almighty God. And at this point, the Rav makes a transition, and he goes back to the mystical arguments, or the mystical insights into ontology and the universe and being. He says, "Anshei hasod omrim ki b'sha'a shayachas hu b'pchinat lifnei Hashem hakol chozer l'tov v'ro." This is not going to be in line. It doesn't reflect the halachic view, because lifnei Hashem is going to be the apex. It's not the disappearance of the world. We're not talking about tzimtzum in the same sense of God concealing His face and living in some sort of realm of less tfisabei, of the infinite world, but rather God is revealing His glory to man. And man finds his existence to be rich, full, holy, when he stands in front of infinite God. So Amidah b'fnei Hashem, from a halachic perspective, is the highest level that man can achieve. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick this up next time. I hope that we'll be able to reconvene shortly after Pesach. I wish everyone a Chag Kosher v'Sameach.